Tomorrow, President Obama is expected to lay out plans for cutting the deficit in 2012 and beyond, as we just talked about. But even as he works out the final points tonight, details are emerging about Friday's bipartisan deal to cut spending for the rest of 2011. Keeping them honest, some of the nearly $39 billion in cuts aren't really cuts at all. And some of the items in this budget-cutting package, well, they're less about saving money than promoting certain lawmakers' pet ideas. It's not quite what was promised when the deal was cut.
We're talking about real spending cuts here. No smoke and mirrors.
There are many examples where they wanted to cut recklessly, and we insisted on cutting responsibly.
Well, with all due respect to Majority Leader Reid, critics say it's not a question of responsible or reckless, but of whether the cuts are even real or not. And with all due respect to Speaker Boehner, that goes straight to his claims of no smoke and mirrors. You can decide for yourself. $3.5 billion in cuts to children's health care, or CHIP. It's actually unspent money left over in the program. And $2.5 billion chopped from health care co-ops for this year? They don't exist yet and won't until 2014. As for things in the deal that would seem to have nothing to do with the budget deficit, one of them bars President Obama from transferring prisoners from the detention camp at Guantanamo Bay. Another restores a school voucher pilot program for Washington, D.C., which is a favorite of House Speaker Boehner's. And for Montana Democratic Senator John Tester, language that blocks regulators from using the Endangered Species Act to protect wolves out west. Now, you can agree or disagree with that or any of the other policy riders we mentioned, and there are more. But safe to say policy is mainly what they're about, not dollars and cents. We talked about it earlier with Republican Congressman and former presidential candidate and possible future presidential candidate Ron Paul. Congressman Paul, does it make sense to you that a budget deal that's being hashed out right now, which is all about reducing spending, includes all these riders, including one about delisting the gray wolves from the endangered species list, which doesn't seem to have anything to do with actually cutting spending?
No, but there's not much in Washington that's ever made much sense to me for a long time. So no, that doesn't make any sense. And it really shows how out of touch so many people are here in Washington and how unlikely it is that we'll get to the bottom of our problems because, you know, it might be Planned Parenthood or NPR or wolves out there. And then when it comes to doing something seriously, like changing our foreign policy and not fighting so many wars, they don't even put that in the budget. Both Republicans and Democrats agreed to fund the wars to the end of the year. That's not even debated at all. But they will go and debate these miscellaneous issues, but it just shows how seriously out of touch I think we are.
Is that just about deal-making in Washington? I mean, is that just kind of par for the course of how business gets done?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, notoriously here, if you get one little thing that you can go back to your district and claim this is what I accomplished, they might have been going to vote one way all along. But if they say, you give me that, now you can put me down as a yes. But I thought we were getting away from that because, you know, with the Tea Party movement and people getting tired of that. So I'm surprised that it's still going on, especially in a budget debate like we're having now, where it's just sort of, how do we get to the end of the year so we can start this all over again for next year?
So will you vote for this budget deal?
Oh, no. I mean, in the 1970s, after we had a change in our monetary policy, in my mind, this would change the whole ball game, that we would have endless spending and endless deficits and end up in a crisis. So I have voted against every spending bill except probably for veterans since the 70s, anytime I was in office. So, no, I can't vote for this budget. There's no serious attempt to cut. They talk, even our side says we're going to cut $6.2 trillion over so many years. Well, that's just a cut from Obama's budget. It's not real cuts. Everything is increased. The national debt's going up this year, $2 trillion. And they're talking about $38 billion, and 10 had already been counted. They're counting, no, it's 12. $12 billion, they're counting twice. And they're talking about that kind of money when we have a national debt increase of $2 trillion, and all the entitlements are off the table, and war is off the table. So they've taken the entitlements and war off the table, and they think they're going to balance the budget. In the meantime, they're going to make sure we can take care of those wolves and solve all those problems as well.
Would you vote for raising the debt ceiling?
No, for the same reason. I didn't vote for any of the spending. Why should I accommodate them and endorse the system that we have? No, it's debt. And I cannot think of any of this without always bringing up the subject of the ability of our government and our Federal Reserve to print the money. You know, if you couldn't print that money, this would all end. Interest rates would go up. But the fact that we, in the Congress, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats, we spend the money, whether it's on entitlement or for the war, we never have to worry about interest rates going up because the Fed says, oh, we'll keep interest rates low. We're going to print money until we destroy the money. So, no, we're locked in on that. The odds of us reversing that trend are very, very slim.
But if you hear from Tim Geithner, if you hear from Bernanke, they say, look, this would be cataclysmic. This would be an apocalypse not to raise the debt ceiling, that basically we wouldn't be able to pay our obligations. Our bond rating would be shot. Inflation would shoot up.
Yeah, well, no, when they print money, that's inflation. That's literally inflation. They always use fear tactics. It's very similar to saying that Saddam Hussein had a nuclear weapon and he was going to bomb us, and therefore we had to go to war. Very similar to building up the fear after the financial crisis. We'll have a Great Depression if we don't do it. And yet the Depression would have come to the people who were ripping us off, so they gave the Depression to the people who lost their homes. So yes, they always use the fear-mongering, and the establishment, whether it's the Federal Reserve or Treasury, they're going to come and say, raise it up, legalize what we're doing, keep the system going for a long time, never look at the real problems of cutting back the size and scope of government.
There was a lot of talk about what would happen to Tea Party Republicans when they were coming to the House, when they were coming to the Senate for the first time, whether they would somehow change, whether Washington would change them, they would change Washington. As you see it, as you see these debates happening, as you see the compromise that happened last week and no doubt will happen this week, do you think the Tea Party has changed? Those folks have changed, your son included?
I don't think he's changed. He's very determined, and several of them are. You have to realize, though, everybody that was newly elected didn't get elected by the Tea Party, so you have to take the new members and maybe cut them in half, and most of them really want to, and they've stuck to their guns, but they don't have any real clout. I mean, they're not the majority in the House, and then you still have the Senate, and then you still have the president, so there's no way they're going to have their way. But the numbers just aren't there. I'm just hoping that more Americans will wake up and send a stronger message here to Washington to clean up our act.
Congressman Paul, you have not announced whether or not you're going to be running for president. I'm not even going to bother asking you because you obviously wouldn't answer.
Right.
But when you look at the field, I mean, Donald Trump has been getting a lot of attention now. Do you think he is a viable candidate?
He looked pretty viable to me. He was alive and well and kicking, and I guess that's what it requires. And as long as we check his birth certificate, I guess we'll be okay.
Congressman Paul, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Congressman.